Okay, good morning, everyone. I think we're going to get started. I'll just tell you who I am. I'm Anita Mr. Hebert. I'm an internist, and I recently finished a fellowship program at the VA, the National Quality Scholars Program, and also went back and got an MPH. And so I am going to talk to you today about a project that I worked on and completed during my fellowship time. I'm currently working at Cleveland Clinic as an internist, part-time researcher. So my project involves time spent with veterans enrolled at one of our local community colleges in Cleveland to try to understand their views about health. I have no relationships to disclose. So my objectives are today to discuss both motivations and barriers to improving health in a group of veteran students in the community, and to also discuss how a partnership between a VA medical center and a local community college can help bridge what I think is a major knowledge gap between clinical providers and veterans in the community. So why is this project important? So my population of interest was really recently returned veterans in the community. We know that at least 2.4 million persons have been deployed to Iraq or Afghanistan since 2001, and that as of last year, less than 800,000 of these veterans had used VA healthcare. I really think this is a new vulnerable population. My interest is in chronic disease prevention as an internist, and I think that this population really may be at risk for poor control of chronic disease given the prevalence of mental health issues that have been reported in this population. So how do we reach them? So we know that chronic disease prevention in recent veterans is going to require some innovative partnerships, and this is just a quote from an article by Widoman, Preventing Chronic Disease, she mentions the need to establish partnerships that cut across traditional institutional domains. And so we thought that veteran students may be particularly motivated to engage in health promotion. These are veterans who've recently come back, have enrolled in school, are trying to improve their opportunities for jobs, and we thought maybe this would be a great population to capture in terms of engaging in health promotion. So we really thought, again, that this partnership between the VA and the local community college would be really an opportunity to integrate primary prevention, primary care with public health to improve the quality of care for these veterans. So overall, the long-term goal of my project is to improve the health and prevent chronic disease in this recently returned veterans in the community. And I really wanted to explore through this project which engagement strategies would meet their needs. So the goal of my specific project was to ascertain drivers of motivation to improve health in veterans enrolled at a local community college, really exploring their attitudes and preferences related to health and their awareness of health risks. So my hypothesis originally was that there would be differences in drivers of motivation to improve health among different populations of veteran students. And I thought that male versus female veterans may be very different, and also veterans recently deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan would be different from veterans of previous wars. And I knew that interventions long-term would need to be tailored to different veteran groups. So my overall conceptual model was based on the health belief model, which acknowledges the contributions of individual beliefs and modifying factors as cues to action to improve health. And the focus, again, on this specific project were the individual beliefs and how they would affect the veterans seeking health care. But I found actually that a lot of the modifying factors were a little bit more significant than I had originally realized. So my project design, actually this was a mixed method study, but today I'm just going to be talking to you about my focus group results. So the Cleveland VA collaborated with the Cuyahoga Community College Department of Veterans Affairs and Services in Cleveland, Tri-C. We did the qualitative portion included focus groups, which I'll be talking to you about today, in the fall semester of 2012, and I also administered a health assessment survey in spring of 2013. And this was funded by an internal grant at the Cleveland VA through the Research and Education Foundation. So in the focus groups, we talked about life priorities, motivations to improve health, and perceptions of medical care. I created the interview guide, revised it through an iterative process as we conducted the focus groups, and I facilitated the focus groups myself, and they were all audio recorded and transcribed. So my entire study population really included all of the veteran students enrolled at Tri-C in fall semester 2012. And initially, I planned separate focus groups for male and female veterans and veterans of the more recent wars versus previous conflicts. And then later, we opened up all the focus groups to all veteran students. And everything was completed by early December 2012. And just so you have some idea of the timeline, we invited the students through an electronic newsletter in October of 2012, offered them a $25 grocery store gift card. And over the next 4 weeks, we had several email reminders, and then we offered focus groups at different locations. Tri-C is a has various locations around Cleveland, and we kind of started with where most of the students are and then expanded it to other locations. And we finished everything by December of 2012. So my results, a total of 17 veteran students participated in 6 focus groups. We analyzed the data using a conventional content analysis approach to coding and thematic development. We essentially derived the codes from the data and we defined them during the analysis. And the initial coding by myself and Dr. Laura Sancheri, who's in the audience here, yielded 72 individual codes. And from these codes, 12 overall themes emerged, and then they were grouped into 6 major thematic categories. So I've displayed them here. So the categories are listed, as you see. To your left, I've kind of gone back to my conceptual model and looked at which of these themes relate more to individual beliefs, which is really what I wanted to explore, and then which relate to modifying factors in terms of motivation to improve health. And as you can see, access to health care, fulfilling basic needs for self and family, succeeding in academics as a barrier sometimes to caring about your own health were really more modifying factors. And then we had a lot of discussion about general views about health, concern about social exclusion and social interactions, which was more toward the individual beliefs portion of the conceptual model. So to talk about this a little bit more in detail, the views about health. So we really found a lot of differing views about health after transition from active duty. And this was something that, as not having served in the military, not being a veteran, this was really eye-opening for me, that veterans, you're kind of in the best shape of your life when you're in active duty, and physical activity, health is really a focus. When you come out, there's been so much time lost with your family, that you're spending time with your family, other priorities really become more important, and so health just kind of goes down in terms of a priority after leaving the military for a lot of these veterans. There were some generational differences, and some of the older veterans felt that the more recent veterans were treated better and kind of glorified, and they felt like they really weren't as focused on their health. You know, why do these more recent veterans get 5 free years of VA health care, and we should be getting free health care? So there were a lot of differences in that. There were some gender differences, mainly in the male veterans feeling like they were less likely to seek preventive care and worry about chronic disease prevention than the female veterans. Where health was a priority really was in terms of the veterans who really were having symptoms, and so that they were focused more on that, but not really in terms of preventive health. In terms of access to health care, that was a huge issue, just access to any health services and costs, a lot of difficulty with getting into the VA system and realizing what was covered, what wasn't covered, and then the extreme cost associated with civilian health care, and a lot of veterans had kind of chosen to not seek care because of that. And I still remember one of the veterans, the recent veterans, saying, you know, I've been deployed 3 times, and I only get 5 years of VA health care when I'm gone. I'm trying to go to school, trying to get a job. You do the math. I mean, that 5 years is going to run out really quickly, and I won't be able to take care of myself. Fulfilling needs, basic needs for self and family. So veterans, they need a job, they need a place to live. I talked to several veterans who had been homeless and had recently found housing, providing and caring for family, really being priorities before they're focusing on their own health. Concern about social exclusion. This was, as a provider, this was very enlightening for me to really understand this, that there's a significant sense of stigma among a lot of veterans, and even though there's been so much focus in treating mental health illness or PTSD in this recent group of veterans, there still is a real feeling of societal stigma in this group, and in terms of not wanting to admit to their symptoms and to seek health care. And another interesting thing was the issue of privacy related to health communication. So I'm not sure if anybody is aware that there are some apps out there, like for instance, like for PTSD that you can download. And there's this thinking that there's going to be this huge uptake of this type of communication, health communication, in especially in younger veterans. But there's really a lot of concern about privacy. And so a lot of people that I spoke with were very wary of using electronic communication. And finally, this idea of self-efficacy and feeling isolated. As a provider, I encourage self-efficacy in patients because that helps maintain or control chronic disease many times. But this time, or speaking with a lot of veterans, it seemed like a lot of times self-efficacy was taken to the extreme, to the point where it's like I don't need anybody when I get back, and I just kind of don't want to interact with a lot of people. So the sense of isolation when coming back was significant. And finally, academics. So that was a theme in our focus groups, really, because veterans spoke so much about trying to get back into academics, trying to succeed, trying to make that transition. And in terms of health being a priority, for some, it was a priority just because they needed to have things addressed so they could succeed academically. So here are some selected quotes that illustrate some of the things I just mentioned. You know, I'm proud to say that I was a professional soldier, and once you get out of that, then take a look at yourself and who you've become. You know, one realizes that one is disconnected from normal life. So just this sense of feeling excluded, that people around them don't understand what they've been through. And this is somebody who is in special forces in Afghanistan. Well, for me, I would say my priority is bettering myself and being able to give my family the best life that I can give them. And you know, by that, I want to be financially stable. So this focus on trying to improve themselves just so that they can provide for the family that they've left for so long. I haven't had that medication in probably 2 years, and that's because I don't have health insurance now. So I just try to eat right and just take care of myself the best I can. This is a recent veteran with hypertension who just was not able to access health care because of cost. And it's almost like you're, I guess the term would be damaged goods, I guess, a veteran trying to find a job and feeling like that was that they were being stigmatized. I was at work one day and I had a flashback. If I were to have told anyone what really happened, I would have lost my job. So that's a good reason not to seek health care. So again, that's somebody who really needed to be treated for PTSD, who waited a long time to do that. And then finally, just illustrating the self-efficacy, you break your hand, break your bone, whatever, you shrug it off and you drive on and you continue the mission. So somebody who had a broken hand and just never sought care while they were on active duty, so why would you go in and try to seek preventive care at this point? So overall conclusions, some barriers to prioritizing health in this group of veteran students. Social determinants of health really play a significant role. You know, basic needs for job and housing are going to take priority, clearly, for these veterans. And concern about societal stigma, which is going to limit health-seeking behavior. Access to health services is a major issue there needs to be more access on campus or through partnerships like we did develop or we've developed in Cleveland with the Cleveland VA. Changing views about health when it's not required. So limited access to fitness opportunities. That was actually an interesting theme that came out. One of the students said, you know, the gym isn't even open at this college at a time that I can get there. So just simple things like that to promote health in this young, especially these younger veterans. And again, the sense of self-efficacy we mentioned may delay care until later in the course of illness. So some motivations to prioritize health, caring for family, that was all a motivation to stay healthy, making sure that that they didn't limit opportunities for their own children, and this emphasizing this need for family support during transition from active duty to student status. I mean, there's a really big transition even just coming back from active duty and then managing your relationships with your family and then taking on a course load, and a lot of these students haven't been in school for a very long time. The transition was very difficult. But again, maintaining health was important so that they could take care of all that. And then, again, just the need to succeed academically was might motivate them to improve their health. So the limitations, my focus group participation was really not as high as I had initially hoped, although I thought that the discussions were rich and really captured a lot of the themes that, you know, have been identified in the literature and through surveys and quantitative data. Possibly self-selection and response bias, and that students with health concerns may have been more likely to participate in my focus groups. So I acknowledge that. In terms of future work, there needs to be continued outreach to veterans at this healthcare system community interface, which I think is really important. That, you know, a lot of times at the VA or even as healthcare providers in other facilities, you kind of wait for people to come to you. And I understand that as a public health practitioner, that's not what we need to do, and that we really need to reach out to this group and create these connections to healthcare that are really needed in this population. And we need to look at innovative venues to reach these recent veterans. And it's challenging to reach this group. We, you know, consider offering facilities for physical fitness training. One of the veterans suggested that. Why doesn't the VA just have this available to me and I would go there and use this? And so that could be a relatively simple solution to at least have places where veterans can go have physical activity, and also then there could be health outreach or education occurring at those places. Optimal use of internet-based services really needs to be evaluated. So again, the newest app may not be what these veterans are looking for. And again, effectively managing these health issues and veterans transitioning to student status really is necessary to promote academic success. So I want to thank my project team. Dr. Centuri is here. Others are back in Cleveland. But couldn't have done this project without Mr. Richard Deschant. He's the executive director for Veteran Services and Programs at the Community College and really believed in starting to improve this connection with the VA and the Community College. So I think just needing to reach out and work with more people like that in the community is going to be necessary for the future. Thank you.